Gemara is continuing with its statements of Amar Ulam of Elazar, the topic of it off in the days. Gemara continues with the following halacha. Bechor shenitrof b'soich lamed yoim in poydin oisoich. So pidin aven typically take place after 30 days, because the pasuk says, uftu yov mi ben chodesh tifteh, pasuk in Parshas Korach. So the pasuk says that the pidin aven is supposed to take place after a chodesh. But everybody say, how long is a chodesh? How long is a chodesh? A chodesh is how long is... It's not really 30 days. It is 30 days. Really, though, how long is it? We treat it as 30 days, but it really is less than 30 days. It's 29 days, 12 hours, and a few minutes. So that was the problem with the old calendar, and that's why we switched to a calendar there was a difference between the Julian calendar and the Gregorian calendar. When they used to have 12 lunar months, so the months would things. It's not exactly the same as the solar calendar. Things began to get off in terms of the seasons. So then they switched to the Gregorian calendar, I believe, which is a strictly solar calendar. But really, the months are a little bit shorter than 30 days. So when the pasuk says "uftu ibn ben chodesh tifta," you're supposed to do pidyon haben after a chodesh. So what does that mean? Does that mean 29 days, 12 hours, and a few minutes? Or does that mean 30 days? So it sounds like from here that it's 30 days. Bechor shenitrof b'soich lamed yom. And therefore, if the bechor is nitrof, toich lamed yom, ain't poldin also. You don't do a pidyon haben. Sounds like from here it's really 30 days. However, there's a Yoreim that claims it means more or less 30 days, but it really means 29 days, 12 hours, and a few minutes. That's what the pasuk says. Uftu yom ben chodesh tifteh. A chodesh is 29 days, 12 hours, and a few minutes. However, most Rishonim disagree with the Sefer Yoreim, and they feel that Pidyon HaBen is supposed to be performed after 30 days. So therefore, when do you really perform Pidyon HaBen? Day 31. So let's say the baby is born, today. So what's today? Wednesday. So today would be day 1. Then you count an additional 29 days. The following day would be day 31. Then you would perform Pidyon HaBen. But let's say the baby is born right before the Shkia. And then, you count an additional 29 days. Count today's day 1 before the Shkia. An additional 29 days. And then you'll get to day 31. So it could turn out that on day 31, it hasn't passed 29 days, 12 hours, and a few minutes. Meaning it is day 31. It's true, 30 days have passed, but you don't have that period of time of 29 days, 12 hours, and a few minutes. You don't have that many hours. So what does the Torah mean when it says, "Uftu yom ben chodesh tifteh"? Does that mean 30 days have to pass, but you don't need a certain period of time? It means a number of days have passed, and it means 2 days, once 30 days have passed, and you reach day 31, now you perform Pidyon HaBen. Or does it mean that, no, a certain period of time has to pass, it has to be 29 days, 12 hours, and a few minutes. And even if you're on day 31, if that period of time has not passed, you can't perform Pidyon HaBen. So in theory, you could have that you're on day 31, but that period of time, as we say, from time to time, has not passed 29 days, 12 hours, and a few minutes. So therefore, we're chayshish for both shittas, and we usually perform Pidyon HaBen on day 31. You can't perform it on day 30, even though we're sure 29 days, 12 hours, and a few minutes have passed. Can't perform it on day 30, but dafka wait till day 31, because maybe uftu yom ben chodesh tifteh doesn't mean a certain period of time of a lunar month, but rather refers to a period of time of 30 days. You have to wait till day 31, but we usually don't do Pidyon HaBen at night. We wait until the morning for a host of reasons, but one of the reasons is in order to make sure that this period of time has passed 29 days, 12 hours, and a few minutes, to make sure that we have passed that period of time. So day 31, but not at night, during the day. We're a little, few hours into the day, and even by Ashkenazim, the minig is to wait until later on in the day, usually in the afternoon. You have a Pidyon HaBen on day 31. If it's a Friday, so you do it a little earlier, but otherwise you do it in the afternoon. Yeah.
Does that apply to other areas by 30 days, like Pesach Shavuos and counting of the Kohanim?
No.
30 days?
Or
just specifically here?
Just here, because the pasuk says, "Uftu yom ben chodesh tifteh." Shloshim of Avelos is dinder rabbanon.
Well, even by the counting in the Torah, it says ben chodesh v'mal.
That's by a different area of halacha. Yeah, that's not by Pidyon HaBen. It's not by Pidyon HaBen though. Uftu yom ben chodesh, doesn't say ben chodesh v'mal. You're 100% right. That's in Parshas Bamidbar, but it doesn't say it in connection with Pidyon HaBen. Oh, okay. So b'charsh nitzav b'sech lamed yom. Let's assume it doesn't mean 29 days, 12 hours. You know, it's a certain period of time. Let's assume it's just for argument's sake is 30 days. Again, we said we're machmer for both shitas, both the Urayim and Bach also held like that. That's a period of time. We assume that it means 30 days have to pass, so we wait for 30 days to pass and make sure that a certain period of time has passed of 29 days, 12 hours, whatever. So we wait until the afternoon of day 31. But let's assume for argument's sake, just to make things easier. Like that, the more commonly assumed shita that is referring to, you know, once 30 days have passed. So before then, you're chayvin pidyon aben. What if a bechor is nitrof toich la midyoyim, so ein poden also? Then you don't do pidyon aben. V'chein tani rami barchama mitoich shenema patoi tifdeh. From the fact that the pasuk says, you shall surely redeem him, yochav filu nitrof besoich la midyoyim, you might have thought, even if it's nitrof, within 30 days after before pidyon aben, tam aloima ach. Pasuk says, "Ach padoy sivdem." We know whenever the Torah uses the word "ach," "ach" is coming to exclude something. So, what is it coming here to exclude? It's coming to exclude that. It's coming to exclude that if the bechor is nitrof toich lamidyom, you don't have to perform pidyon aben. What is the word? I might have thought padoy sivdem comes to include it. "Ach" comes to exclude it. That you don't have to perform pidyon aben. What does Bechor Nitrof mean, though? So that's going to be a subject to a great machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. So look over here at Rashi. Rashi says, Bechor Shenitrof. Bechor Adam Shenerag B'soich Lamidyoim. If the Bechor is Nerag, it's killed before 30 days. So once day 30 arrives, it's no longer here. Then you don't have to perform Pidyon Aben. Says Rashi, Ein Poydon Oysay, the next Rashi. Ein Tzarech Levdoy, so you don't have to perform Pidyon Aben. What if mates may atzmo? The mates may atzmo lo yitzrach lo nememar. Oh, if the baby died on its own, of course we don't even need to say that you're not obligated to pinyin aben. The haksiv of duya mi ben chaydesh tivdeh. You only have to redeem the child if it's alive for, you know, a period of time of a month, which we assume, let's say, is 30 days. It's only if it lives 30 days of a house day. So if it died on its own and it didn't live 30 days, of course you don't have to perform pinyin aben. But let's say it was killed. Ooh, if it was killed earlier, not that it died on its own, but it was killed earlier by, you know, by someone else, a murderer. I might have said there, you're obligated to perform Pidyon Aben. Because had it not been killed, it would have lived for a period of 30 days. It's not a navel, it's not a stillborn, it's not a baby that's not viable. This baby was viable, just it was killed, or it was possibly viable, and it was killed. So therefore, I might have said, you have to perform Pidyon Aben, but since we don't have absolute, you know, knowledge that this baby was viable, okay, so you don't perform Pidyon Aben. The baby was killed before we were able to tell whether it was going to be able to live 30 days. Okay, so if the baby can't live 30 days on its own, it's what we call a nafel, not a viable child, and therefore you're not obligated to perform pinyin aben. But even if it didn't die on its own, it was killed. I might have said, well, if it hadn't been killed, it would have lived to be 30 days, or at least possibly would have lived to be 30 days. So maybe I should be obligated to perform pinyin aben. No, since it was killed early, and there's no way of ascertaining it was able to live for a period of 30 days, you're not obligated to perform pinyin aben. That's what the Xeris of Kosovo is coming to teach me. Yeah, that's Rashi. So, Frek Taisvis, Taisvis asks on Rashi, but there's a very far-reaching implication from Rashi's comments. Perish HaKuntris, Shinerag, that the child was killed within a period of 30 days. You only have to pinyin aben after the 30th day. Here, the child was killed within the period of 30 days. Uvemeis me'asmo l'istrich crosses Tarsus if it died on its own. You don't even need to say that you're part of from Pidyon Aben. De'ein poden. De'haksiv uftuv mi b'chodesh tivdeh. Of course, the child has to be able to live 30 days. If the child can't live 30 days, it's a nefel. Of course, you're not obligated in Pidyon Aben. Aval ne'rag. If it was killed, istrich lashmin, and I need exeris akosiv. De'loy amin, and what would I have said without exeris akosiv? Ilav de'ikhtil avichai. Had it not been killed, it would have lived. It's not a nafel. You should have been obligated to perform Pidyon Aben. Kamash Milan, that you don't have to perform Pidyon Aben. But what is the Kamash Milan that you don't have to perform Pidyon Aben? Is that Kamash Milan that even though it would have been a viable child, you still don't have to perform Pidyon Aben because they never made it to day 30? So says Tosis, no, that's not what it sounds like from Rashi. What does it sound like from Rashi? Mash Maksas, Dim Kim Lon Big Ave. If we would know that the child had been a full-term baby. That's kalu lo chadoshav. Kalu lo chadoshav, the child would be a full-term baby, meaning it was a viable child. We would know that. You know, it's hard to know sometimes when a child is conceived. And you don't know if it's really a full-term baby or not a full-term baby. But if we would know that it was a full-term baby, now we have scientific methods, but okay. But if we would know that it was a full-term baby and we know it was a viable child, so the only reason if the child is killed early that you don't have to perform pidyon haben is because we have no way of ascertaining was it a viable fetus, was it not? Was it a viable child, I'm sorry, was it not? If it's born and it dies, of course you don't have to perform pidyon haben. It wasn't viable. And even if it's born and it's alive but it's killed, we don't know is it viable, is it not viable. So therefore you don't have to perform pidyon haben. But it sounds like, let's say we would know it was viable. We would know it was kalu lo chadoshav. This woman was in, you know, 3 weeks overdue. We knew it was kalu lo chadoshav. It was a full-term baby. Sounds like from Rashi, even though the baby is killed before day 30, it's not alive on day 30, you're not obligated. I'm sorry, you're still obligated to perform pidyon haben, even though the child is no longer here. That's what it sounds like from Rashi. The only reason your potter, if it's killed, is because I can't ascertain was it an aphel, was it not an aphel. But if I know it was not an aphel, I know it was a full-term baby, be obligated for pidyon haben, even though it was killed before day 30. That's Rashi's shita. V'kasha says Taisis. Taisis has two kashas on Rashi. V'kasha, the first kasha is, because the Gemara says, Mesechlis b'chayris. A person wants to get a head start on things, you know. So he's paid his son within 30 days. You can't do that. You can't be paid your son early. So what does he say to the Kohen? I'm going to give you the money now. I don't have to go through all this later. I'll give you the money now. Come the day of Pidyon HaBen, you know, this will serve in the place of the money of the Pidyon HaBen. That's fine. It can work if the money is still there. It's still around. After 30 days, let's say the Kohen spends it. So by the time day 31 rolls around, he doesn't have the money anymore. So Amar Gabi paid the benoit toich lamidom v'nis achlu amos. Nobody ate the coins. It means it got spent. La'achar zman ein beno padui. So then the pidyon can't take effect later on. The money's no longer here. The pidyon haben is not valid. V'amai, why can't the pidyon haben be valid early? According to Rashi, the only reason we have to wait till day 30 is why? To see if the child is a viable child. But if we would know the child is a viable child, you'd be chayvin pidyon haben right away. And that's why even if the child is killed before day 30, you're chayv to do pidyon haben. If I would know it's kalu chadosh, it was a viable child. So why can't I be posed of pidyon haben early? Why do I have to wait till day 30? Be posed there now. Ah, you'll say, I don't know if it's a viable child. Come day 30, the child is still here. I see it was a viable child. Why can't it be posed already on day 1? Therefore says Taisus Alavada Xeris Hakosavhi Umifduya mi ben chodesh tifta da filu kimlan shekalu chadash of tzarech lamidyan. Even if we would know that the child is a full term baby, you need to wait for a period of 30 days. In order to be chayiv, you are not chayiv poshit before day 30. And therefore, if a child would be killed later before day 30, what would be the halacha? No pidyon haben. Comes day 30, he's not here. The chiyuv of pidyon haben sets in on day 30. That's shitas hatosfos. Shitas Rashi is, I need 30 days to check if the child is an eifel. Okay, if day 30 rolls around, child is still here. I was chayv already on day 1. Frek tosfos, if you're chayv already on day 1, why can't I do pidyon haben already on day 1? And you can't, because if day 30 rolls around, the money's not here, you have no pidyon haben. The Taisus says, no, must be it's Xeris HaKosev, you're not chayv in pidyon haben until day 30, and therefore if the child is killed before day 30, you're potter in pidyon haben, even if it was a full-term baby. Taisus is another kasha on Rashi, v'oid, there's a riot to Rashi, which we'll skip for now, but Taisus is another kasha on Rashi, look at the bottom of Taisus, 5 lines from the bottom, v'oid, de'besof ha'komitz rabba, another Gemara Mesechlis Menachos, mechayiv, Gabi Bechor, Shiesh, Shnei Roshim. You have a Bechor that has two heads. We call today Siamese twins.
Conjoined twins.
Mechayv Gabi Bechor, Shiesh, Shnei Roshim. Okay, but it's a firstborn of the mother. How many times Pidyon HaBen do you have to give? There's two heads here. It's a head count. Mechayv gavi b'chor sheyesh lo beiz rosh and li ten yud slaim. You have to give 10 slaim. Uparek halah, why do you have to give 10 slaim? B'chor shenitrof. The Gemara asks, why do you have to give 10 slaim for this two-headed child? How's it different than a b'chor shenitrof to potter? What? What? According to Rashi, what does one have to do with the other? B'chor shenitrof means a child who's killed before day 30. This child is sitting here with the two heads. What does one have to do with the other? The nitra of Hainu Nera, Kechimidami, Lalahachi. What does it have to do with this? What does one have to do with the other? So therefore, Nitrov cannot mean that. Nitrov cannot mean a child who was killed early. What does Nitrov mean? Nitrov, why does the Gemara keep saying Nitrov? Say the Gemara was, say the child was Nerag, it was killed. That's the language we usually associate with that. V'yo demasi Gemara achilek. Well, if the child is no longer here on day 30, and that's why you're potter, what's this ach business? What is the ach coming to tell me? Ach sounds like it's coming to exclude further things. Not only do you have to wait till day 30, you have to even wait longer. According to Rashi, it has nothing to do with the word ach. It has to do with the fact that it's pasha not around on day 30. It's not here. The child was killed. So what is he learning it out from the word ach? So therefore, Mefarsh Rabbeinu Tam, Shenitrov Hainu Shenase Trefa. What is a trefa? So there's trefa by animal, trefa by behema, but trefa by animals, Alokho Moshe Misinai, we derive from there the trefas by human beings, but a trefa is a person who has some physical deformity, is missing something, or, has an extra something, but either way, some physical deformity which will prevent him in all likelihood from living to a period of 12 months. If he can't live for 12 months, he's the status of a trefa. It's not because of illness. Illness we discussed already, that's a goses. That's the difference between a goses and a trefa. A trefa is some kind of deformity or defect. Physically, a goses is someone who's ill. The two might be very different from one another. So if you kill a person who's ill, so that's an Isa Verticha and Yechayev Misa. We discussed already. You can't hasten the death of a goses. A trefa is also Verticha to kill a trefa, but there's no capital punishment. Trefa, since he couldn't live for a period of 12 months, is considered to be a Gavra Ketila. He's like a walking around, a dead man walking. You can't kill him, obviously. It's an Isa Verticha, but there's no Onesh Misa because he was not he can't live on for a period past 12 months. So Taisa says, no, what we're referring to over here, B'chor Shenitrov, means it became a trefa within 30 days. So now, meaning what we're saying is, not only does a child have to be able to live for a period of 30 days, otherwise you're not chayvin pidin aben, but it has to live not only for 30 days, it has to be lived for a period of 12 months. It has to be not a trefa. If it's a trefa, so then even if it can live past 30 days, not only is a baby before 30 days excluded from Pidyon HaBen, but even if it could live past 30 days, but it can live to be 12 months old. Oh, still potter from Pidyon HaBen. Now, v'hashta medami le'shapi v'karmes v'b'char sheyesh lo beiz roshim d'havi le'trefa. Now, we can understand the comparison to the child that has two heads. How long is this child that has two heads going to live for? Not too long. These babies can't live for too long. It's a deformity. It says some defects are going to limit the lifespan for sure. How much? Hard to know. But it's going to limit the lifespan of the child, without a doubt. So the Gemara says, why are you chayiv 10 slaim for the child that has two heads? And Pinin HaBen, how is it different than a Bechor Shenitrof, a Bechor that became a trefa? That you're not obligated to Pinin HaBen. It has to be able to live a period of 12 months. If it can't live 12 months, it has the status of a trefa, both by behemoth as well as by Bnei Adam. And the pasuk Ach Padot Sifteh comes to teach me, not only does a child have to live till 30 days, before 30 days there's no obligation of Pinyon HaBen, and Tosfos says it's only if the baby is killed before 30 days, there's no Pinyon HaBen, and never made it to day 30. Not only have to make it to day 30, Ach is coming to teach me, he's got to make it even longer. How long does it have to make? It has to be able to live at least a period of 12 months. Yeah.
Plus, Sean, like a baby, like sick, like a Bechor is sick when he's first, and like the doctors like don't know, then like what would we say? Would this like apply?
So what should we say? What should we say? First of all, what kind of trefa are we talking about over here?
No, I'm saying is that different? The doctor says it's probably.
He has a heart condition.
Knows, though, right? So no one really knows.
Suffolk trefa. So Safik Trefa should be Potter. Safik Pidina Ben is Potter. Motz Mechaver over Raya. We treat it like like Dine Mamanis. So Motz Mechaver over Raya. He would have to bring Safik Trefa's Potter. Question is that called the Trefa? Let's say the baby is touch and go, we don't know, but the baby could, you know, there's medical procedures that could help the baby. What would you say there? So let's first understand why a trefa is no good. Why is there no opinion I've been on the trefa? So look at the Nemuka Yosef over here, or his bays. Says the Nemuka Yosef, Shenodu bo simane trefas besoch lamid yom. It develops trefas within 30 days. Kaven de trefa in achaya. Since a trefa cannot live for a period of 12 months, af al pi shalom eiz besoch shaloshim yom, even though it didn't die within 30 days. So past that first test of viability, ain podon oso. The kameis hu choshev, it's considered to be a mace. However, look at the Rush. The Rush says something else. Look at the Rush. The Rush says, Bechar shenolad lo simen trefa besoch shloshim v'chai. Zman gadol la'achas shloshim yom. Let's say a bechar develops a trefa within 30 days and it lives past 30 days, but it can't live a period, you know, but it's presumably not going to live 12 months. Ein av chai v'vdoso. V'afilu man d'amah trefa chaya. Even if it's possible for this trefa to live, meaning even if there's a minority that they do live, even if this trefa has lived, he's still pater from Pidyon HaBen. The Xeris Akazavu de Darshina Padot, if they yako feel nitro besoch shloshim yom tamaloma achilik. So even if it's possible for this baby to live past 30 days, but I'd say, I guess most would not live past 30 days, but it is possible for the child to live past 30 days. So in Bichaivin Pidyon, you would still be pater in Pidyon HaBen. That's the rush. Then Muka Yosef implied, no, it's only if it's Vadai not going to live. Shenodabo Simone Trefa Besoch Lamid Yom. Kevin did look back at the Muka Yosef, and Muka Yosef says, Afa Fi Shalom Eis Tok Shoshim Yom, Ein Polner Osot De Kamesu Choshev. Again, so the rush sounds like, I'm sorry, from the Muka Yosef, it's, from the rush it sounds like, Besoch Shoshim Yom V'chai, even if it's still alive, you're Pater and Pidyon HaBen. That's what it sounds like from the rush. For the Nemuka Yosef, it sounds like, no, the only time it's considered to be a trefa that you're pater for Pidyon HaBen is if it's going to pass away within 12 months. Let's say the baby will be able to live past 12 months, then it's not kegavra ketila. Or let's say it already did live past 12 months, so it's not kegavra ketila, and you would be chayv in Pidyon HaBen. Yeah.
It sounds like from the rush that he says that ina chayv, meaning if the father wanted to, could he?
You could give money to any coin you want. You can't make a bracha, though, or you do whatever you want. You want to give tzedakah to a coin, that's fine. It's nothing to do with Pidyon HaBen.
Right.
Yeah, what do you want to say, actually?
In this case, they don't know whether or not he would last a year?
The assumption is that he wouldn't. If he does, so then would you be chayv in Pidyon HaBen?
So they're saying that you'd only get, according to the...
The Rush says, even if he could live, it's kind of Xeris HaKosev. If you have one of these physical deformities or defects where most people would not live past 12 months, even if this person does, he would be Pater in Pidyon HaBen. That's what Ach Padosef Tes coming to teach me. Even though there was one opinion, the Gemara, the Trefa Chaya, what that means is it's possible for a Trefa to live. It doesn't matter, you're still Pater and Pidyon HaBen. It sounds like from the Nemuka Yosef, no, it has to be something that the person will certainly die from, because he says he's considered to be Kemes. So let's say it's possible for him to live.
He'd wait until the day after.
Or let's say the doctors are able to tell you, I think this person, we can have a procedure that can enable this person to live beyond this.
Then you do it on the spot.
So then you'd be Chayv and Pidyon HaBen already now. Even though he was born with a certain trefa, or a certain trefa happened after he was born. But if the doctors say we have a procedure that can help him live on, so then he's not kegavra ketila, and he's not going to pass away, and then it should be chayv and Pidyon HaBen already now. From the rush, it sounds like once you have this trefa, you're potter. It's Xeris HaKosev. So maybe the doctor's intervention wouldn't matter. However, according to the Mikra Yosef, it certainly sounds like if a doctor would be able to prolong his life, so he'd not be, he would not be potter. Would be chayv and pinyan aben already now. If you look at the Meiri, Meiri has a fascinating distinction. I'm not sure what it's based on, but he's into the language implies like the Meiri. But the Meiri says v'yesh mefarshim ba'afilu nitra v'lo meis. Even if there's a, you know, he has a treifa, but he didn't die, wrote to Lomar, ho, of a nice a treifa, besol shoshim yom, v'yef shalo lahachyos. It's impossible for him to live beyond, you know, 12 months. Afo pisha chai lahachyos shloshim, even though he's going to live past 30 days, he's pater from pidin ha-ben, because he won't be able to make it, you know, for 12 months. V'chein adavar mochiach, but he says, I'm sorry, that's only if it's nitraf after he's born. Yesh mefarshim ba'afilu nitra v'lomeis hovenasa treifa b'sol shloshim yom. What if he would be born with this defect or deformity? No, then that's not what the Gemara is talking about. You'd be chayv in pidyon aven already now. It's only if it's nitraf. It happened after he was born.
What's the difference?
You look at the Nemukei Yosef also. Look back, second line of Nemukei Yosef. V'davka shenodabo simani treifa bidei adam o bidei behema. Not if he was born with it. Let's say, you know, most of his bones broke. But if he was born that way, then no. So he says, that's the answer to Tosfos Kasha. Tosfos asks, oh, that's what the Gemara means in Maseches Menachos. Not Tosfos Kasha, Rashi, but that's what the Gemara means in Maseches Menachos. The Gemara says, why is a Bechor that's born with two heads, Chayv and Pidyon HaBen, it should be no different than a Bechor Shenitraf? So according to Tosfos, we understand what that, what the comparison is all about. A Bechor Shenitraf means it's a treifa. A Bechor that has two pinyon, two heads, probably not going to live too long. And certainly his lifespan will be cut short. So what's the difference between them? Why is a Bechor Shenitraf pater and pinyon aben? A Bechor with two heads is chayv and pinyon aben. Why? They're both treifas. So Tosfos, I'm sorry, so the Meiri says, now we understand what the difference is. One is born with that defect. If you're born with that deformity, with that defect, oh, then you're chayv and pinyon aben. Maybe because a Bechor that's born with a certain treifa has a better chance of living than a Bechor that becomes a treifa later on. I think that's what the Meiri is trying to say. If you get, if the child gets, you know, injured later on and now he has some injury which will prevent him, not an illness, but an injury that will prevent him from living beyond 12 months, so there's something wrong with his body, they won't be able to live beyond 12 months, that's usually more aggressive or more severe than a congenital defect. I would presume that's what it means. Otherwise, I don't think there's a lumdish reason why there should be a difference. So he says, look over here in the second line, V'chein adavim ochiach b'talma menochis, perakav kemitz rabah, d'ka'amah b'nodolo b'en shnei roshim, a person who, you know, has a child with two heads, shechai v'itenes eslaim v'koyim. He's obligated to give pinyin ben v'hikshu mizu. Why is that any different than b'chor shenitraf? So according to Tosfos, we understand the comparison makes a lot of sense. B'chor shenitraf means it has a physical deformity. Vein poldeno, so you're not obligated to do pinyin aben. Why is it different? The child that has two heads, v'tirei shiny hasam. The Gemara, their answer is the begulgolas telerachmana. The Gemara says it. The pasuk says it depends on heads. Depends on how many heads you have. So you chayv in ten slon. But why the child's not going to make it? Alma nitrav da'alcha perusha shenase treifa. It became a treifa later on. Umeata mashapir shugdoi kadmona the davka b'nishchinis chadesh lo treifa zemeata. It's only if it happened later on. Avam nolad besimani tarfus chayv lefdoso la'achar shloshim. If it's born with this defect, then you're obligated to pinyin aben after 30 days. Shere shnei roshim tarfus hu, certainly having two heads is a treifa. Sheko yasek kenoto dami, sometimes having too many things is also bad, you know, when more is less. Upir shalom seklus menochos shenosin es islam akoinim they shakos of tobe gulgolas. The Torah says, nonetheless, the Gemara says, nonetheless, you have to give pinyin aben. So here, Mishmua, she's kind of, so never can I betray for Shoshne Rosh, and we tell him, okay, fine. You might have said two heads is different than other tarfas. Maybe that's what the Gemara is saying. She says, look at the last line. Mikomokum heme farshim shiny hasim de cave in the hachi is lagwid, velo nitrof lachashano er chayiv. There, he was born with it. It was congenital. It wasn't something that developed later on, and therefore you're chayiv in pinyin aben. So if I had to say, Abshar and the Meiri, I think, and then Mukhe Yosef also implies like that. I think the difference would be that a treifa that it's born with is either harder to predict or is presumed to be less severe than a treifa that develops later on because of some injury, you know, or some other cause. But if it's born with it and I'm able to last 30 days, then it would not be excluded. thinking. I don't know what else to say.
Doesn't the Rosh make that distinction?
No, the Rosh doesn't make that distinction. The Rosh implies if it's the Rosh doesn't make that distinction. These Rishonim do. The Rosh and Mukayasif disagreed. Does it have to be, what if the baby lives? You know, we can predict it'll live beyond 12 months, but it has a trefa. Where in most people, you know, would not be able to live beyond 12 months. So the Rosh says, you know, even if it lives beyond, that if it lives beyond, what did the Rosh say? The Rosh said if it's...
Even past 30 days,
even according to the one that trefa chaya, even if it could last 12 months, it's still putter. And the Mukayasif held no, only if it's going to pass away, certainly within 12 months. It sounds like if there's a, you know, if it makes it past 12 months, you'd be chayv in pinyan. And if the doctors predict it'll make it past 12 months, even if he has this trefa, he'd be chayv in pinyan aben. The Rosh sounds like he says, no, even if they tell you the baby could live beyond 12 months, doesn't matter. As long as there's a trefa, you'll potter. So the Rosh is the most extreme. Even if the doctors tell you we have some medical intervention, could live beyond 12 months, he's still potter in pinyan aben. And Mukayasif sounded like only if the doctors tell you it's not going to make it past 12 months, you're chayv in pinyan aben. If the doctors are able to prolong his life, you know, beyond 12 months, or they're able to, you know, guess, if we'll be able to live beyond 12 months, you'd be chayv in pinyan aben already now. And the Meiri, the Mukayasif also implied like this, says that this is only something that happens subsequently. If it's congenital, you always chayv in pinyan aben. And look at the Rambam. The Rambam seems to say this at also. Look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, after 30 days pass, the child dies within 30, even on day 30, it becomes a trefa. Not that it is a trefa. It became a trefa subsequently. But if it was always a treif, it was born with a congenital disorder, even if it can't live past 12 months, you might be chayv in pidyon aben. I don't know. So it sounds like most of the Rishonim would hold you'd be chayv in pidyon aben in that situation. Yeah.
Would the Rosh hold in a case where you're able to like make the baby live with the treif for like long term?
Yeah. The Rosh sounds like you're still potter there, even though treif for chaya. Yeah, so I think so. Dr. Abraham, who's one of the, wrote the Bible on halachic medical ethics called Nishmas Avrom. So we believe the Bible was given to us by the Ribbono Shel Olam, but the Bible medical ethics, what I mean by that is that it was the go-to text on halachic medical ethics called the Nishmas Avrom, who's a Talmud of Shlomo Zalman and the Tzitz Eliezer. So he quotes there, I think, from the Tzitz Eliezer and Shlomo Zalman, that if they're able to heal the defect, well, so then it's no longer a trefa. They move the status of trefa. So oftentimes these heart disorders, with Baruch Hashem, with advanced medical science, we're able to change the reality on the ground. Then it's no longer a trefa anymore. Even the Rosh would agree to be chayv in pinyan aben. But even if you have a situation where the trefa remains. But, it'll be able to, the doctors are telling you, probably be able to live past 12 months or even longer. So the Rosh might say you're still putter in pinyan aben, but many other Rishonim, okay, Yosef, certainly if he was born congenitally like that, the Meiri and the Rambam would also say chayv in pinyan aben already now. Yeah.
If the baby got sick on day 29 but survived past day 30, the Rambam would still say that you...
What do you mean by sick? See, that's the question is it a physical deformity or an illness?
No, just an illness. But when babies are like infants, they're more likely to die from like a sickness than...
Okay, but once it makes it past day 30, it's not an aphel.
Either way, they don't know that anyway, even if it dies on day 31 or 32.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah, for sure. For sure. This is all Taisa Shita, though. That what does a Bechor Shenitrof mean? It means that the Bechor became a Trefa. Then, if it becomes a Trefa, within 30 days, you're not chayv to perform Pinyan Aben. Comes to teach me, not only does the child have to live till day 30, that's Pashat. The Chiv of Pinyan Aben doesn't begin till day 30. It even has to live beyond that, a period of 12 months. If it's a Trefa, it becomes a Trefa, it's not able to live beyond 12 months, you're not chayv in Pinyan Aben. We discussed what the doctor said. Can. Okay. However, what did Rashi say? Bechor Shenitrof means a Bechor that was killed within 30 days. Why? Because we don't know if it'll be a viable fetus. If it would be a viable child, so would you have to perform Pidyon Aben even if it was killed before day 30? Sounds like from Rashi, yes. That's what it sounds like from Rashi. The only reason you're potter by the child that gets killed before 30 days, because we don't know. We have no way of telling, was it going to be a viable child? But let's say we know it was Kalo Chadashev. It's a full-term baby. It would have lived on much longer. It was killed before 30 days, you know, before day 31. So from Rashi, it sounds like he'd be obligated to perform Pinin HaBen. So Taisa says, we have a Gemara Masechtas Becheiros, that if a person gives the money to the Kohen, and the money's not around come day 31, there's no Pinin HaBen. Why not? Doesn't the obligation begin on day one? If we know the child is a kalu chadash, if we know the child is a viable child, once we make it day 31, the obligation should be chal l'mafre, already back on day one. Why can't I be poda then before day 31? As long as we see, we only need 30 days to make sure that the child is a viable child. Okay, so the child 30 days came, the child is a viable child, why can't I be poda the opinion I've been earlier? So obviously, according to Rashi as well, there's no obligation to make Pidin HaBen until later. But it could be the Chiyuv sets in already from day one. Meaning what Rashi would probably argue, Rav Shach makes this argument on the Rambam, we'll get to it in a second, in Perek Yud Aleph, Uchas Bikur Malachachav, Rav Shach in the Sefer Avi Ezri on the Rambam suggests, according to Rashi, of course we have to distinguish between two different parts of an obligation. One is when the obligation sets in, and the second part is when are you obligated to pay. For example, a mashal. It's not the same case, but it's somewhat similar. A person borrows money. The minute you borrow money from the bank, you're obligated to pay back. Do you have to give it all now? No. Some loans are due, you know, after 5 years, some 10 years, some 30 years. Some you have to pay back on a monthly basis. Some you pay back in a lump sum at the end of a period of term, you know. But the obligation sets in the minute that you borrow the money. And some banks will penalize you if you pay back early. They don't want the money back because they want, you know, you're going to try and get out of the interest payments. They want you to keep the money and make the interest payments. So some banks will take the money happily early. So if you're going to give the interest payments on top of it, okay, fine. It's not exactly the same. But we understand the concept that those two things don't necessarily always go together. Sometimes you can be obligated to pay, but yet the money is not due until later on. So too, that's how Rashi understood Pidin HaBen. The obligation sets in on day one. You have to wait 30 days to make sure the child is a viable child, and at that point, the obligation to pay sets in. But really, you know, to actually make a payment. But the obligation already exists from day one. That's when the Chiyuv of Pidin HaBen sets in. The time, though, to pay is not till later on day 30, when we see that the child is a viable child. And that's why you have to wait till day 30. So if the child makes it till day 30, then you still can't be poed there earlier. That wasn't, you know, that's early. You can't, you know, you can't make a payment before a certain period of time is reached. Even though the obligation sets in on day one, and therefore, if we would know the child is a viable child on day one, you'd be obligated in Pidin HaBen even if the child is killed before day 30. If we would know it was a full-term baby and it would have been able to live 30 days had someone not come and, you know, Lailanu taken its life. The obligation sets in on day one, even though the time to pay, time to make that payment is not until day 30. So according to Rashi, we have to distinguish between those two things. Yeah.
Do we have a comparable case in Halacha? Not just similar to loans, but in Halacha itself?
Where you're obligated in something, but yet you don't pay till later?
Yeah.
Every time you take a loan, it's like that. Loans are different. You can pay early. Here, you can't.
Could you say maybe along the same lines of bris milah? I mean, from the moment that a baby was born, you have there's an obligation that has to have bris milah, but it only comes into effect on the 8th day.
It's not going to be the same because we do a bris milah. Let's say a baby passes. According to Rashi, the baby was killed. He should be obligated to perform bris milah. So we do perform bris milah on all the nafels, but that's something that's not halachic. That's something to do with getting into Gan Eden and things that can't be in our realm. Something. We do bris milah even on the babies that the nafel, but that's not a halachic mitzvah bris milah. This would be different. According to Rashi, you could have a child that never makes it to day 30, but you're chayv to do Pidin HaBen. It's a whole different medina. It's a whole different thing. I don't know if we have a parallel, but we do see that the Rambam holds the same thing. Look over here, Chaver. Look over here. The Rav Shach points this out. Perek Yudalef Hilchos Bikur Melacha Chav. Says the Rambam. Mishlo Bichra Ishtoi. Woman who hasn't given birth yet. V'yolda Zachav in a Keva. She gave birth to a boy and a girl. V'ein Yadua Ezemehen Yatzar Rishon. I don't know how they don't know. But they don't know which one came out first, the boy or the girl. They forgot in the hollow, you know, everything that was going on in the birthing room. Ein kan l'koyin klum. The koyin doesn't get anything. If it's a girl, of course, there's no pidin aben. If there's a boy, there is pidin aben. But we don't know. Was it the girl? Was it the boy? So we say, hamaytzim chaver ol avaraya. Or, you know, the koyin wants the money. You come and prove that the zachar was born first. Or yol de shnei zacharim. She gave birth to two boys. We don't know which one was a Bechar, but one of them is. Then you have to give five times to the Kohen. But let's say one of them is a Nefil. One of them dies within 30 days. Potter, you're Potter, because I don't know, maybe it was the one that died was the Bechar. Maybe not the one that's alive. Maybe it was the one that's alive, and the one that died was the second child that's born. But if the Kohen wants to take your money, he has to prove it. But let's say Mesa Av. What about this case? Bein b'tarch shloshim yom, bein achar shloshim yom. So what happens? A guy has a baby boy. And he dies. Oh, terrible. He dies within 30 days. Or even if he dies after 30 days, says the Rambam. Bein shechilku ha'achim, bein sheloi chilku ha'achim, bein shechilku. Whether they divvied up his Yerusha, his estate, or they haven't divvied up his estate. Rabbi, so you ask, how does he have Yarshim if he's having his first child now?
No, it's Amisha.
It's a different wife, of course. Different wife. Second wife. Every woman, her firstborn, was Chayv and Pidyon HaBen. He might have adult children already. Okay, so this guy has adult children. They're going to split up his estate. He dies, though, he just has a second wife now. They have a baby, but he's an old man, let's say, and he passes away within 30 days before the time of the Pidyon HaBen. The father dies. Who pays the Pidyon HaBen? The child, or does it come from his estate? So the Rambam says, it always comes from his estate, even if he dies before 30 days have been reached. It comes from his estate. Says a Kesef Mishnah, whether they distributed the estate or they haven't distributed it. Says a Kesef Mishnah, quotes the name of the Torah. Torah cuts of Alzeva, Eino Nira, came to Gemara, Elamei Sa'av, Toch Lamed Yom, Afilu Lo Chilku, if the father dies before 30 days, even if they haven't distributed the estate, V'meis Lachar Yom, Afilu Chilku, Chayovim. Peturim, V'meis Lachar Yom, Afilu Chilku. No, it makes a difference. If the father was around day 30, the Chiyuv sets in, the father's Chayuv to pay from his estate, even if they distributed the money to the different Yarshim, to the different inheritors. But if the father dies before day 30, says the Torah, he's potter, he's off the hook. Now it's the chiyuv on the kid. We've had that here. Kids being part of themselves, and bali chuba, whatever. We've had it here in the yeshiva many times, pidyon haben. Father never did it, so then the kid is obligated to do it later on in his life. Here the Nebuch, this kid lost his father before 30 days were reached, says the Torah, okay, so he has no father, I'm sorry, it's gonna, the chiyuv of pidyon haben is going to be incumbent upon the child. The father's no longer here. Ah, and when does the chiyuv pidyon haben set in? Day 30. Okay, so if the father's around day 30, you take it from his estate. If he's not around day 30, his estate is potter. Says the Rambam, no. Says the Rambam, even if the father dies before day 30, we take it from his estate. Why? You're not chiyuv pidyon haben until day 30. If you're potter early, it's no good. So says of Shach, must be according to the Rambam as well. He holds like Rashi, not as far as Rashi, that even if the child dies before day 30, you're still chayv and pidyon haben. But along the same lines as Rashi, when does the chiyuv set in? Day 1. When does the time to pay? That's later, day 30. But if the child, if the father is alive at day 1, the chiyuv of pidyon haben sets in. Even if the father's no longer here day 30, you have to do pidyon haben. Says Rashi, even if the child's no longer here day 30, you have to do pidyon haben. That's a big chiddush. But they're both coming from the same place, says Rav Shach. And that is that the chiyuv of pidyon haben really sets in on day 1, even though the time to pay is not arrived until day 30. And if you'll pay early, you won't be, I'd say. You have to wait till day 30. But the chiyuv really sets in on day 1. So let's say the following shiloh. Let's say the price of silver is fluctuating constantly. Up, down, up, down, up, down. In our times, the commodities market is pretty much settled down. But there are times... still, the price of silver is jumping up and down. So you want to do Pidyon HaBen, but we have to figure out how much money is the Pidyon HaBen. So it depends, we said in the past, it depends on 100 grams of silver. But when do we determine the price of 100 grams of silver? Well, it depends when the Chiyuv sets in. So if the Chiyuv sets in on day one, so we determine based on the price of silver when the child is born. If the Chiyuv, according to Tysus, the Chiyuv doesn't set in until day 30. Oh, so then it's based, depends on the price of silver on day or day 31. It depends on the price of silver on day 31. According to Rashi, it depends on the price of silver, perhaps. And day one, and there'll be other nafkaminas between Rashi and Tysus as well. Yeah?
Even though the other Rambam says, straight up,
Rashi, the Rambam doesn't learn like Rashi. He holds Bechor Shenitrof means that it became a trefa.
But it's
he doesn't go as far as Rashi. Rashi is really extreme. Rashi is saying even if the child's not here on day 30, when the chiyuv to pay sets in, nonetheless, you're obligated in Pidyon HaBen if he was around day one, and we know with certainty that it was a viable child. That's really extreme. But the Rambam does agree conceptually with Rashi that the Chiyuv sets in theoretically on day one, even though the time to pay is not later on until day 30. The Rambam might agree with Tosfos that if the baby's not here day 30, there's no Pidyon HaBen. But you see from the Rambam, at least in terms of his obligation on the father, if the father was around day one, even if the father's not here day 30, his estate has to pay, because that's when the Chiyuv really sets in. Rashi takes that so far, he takes that even further. And he, expands upon that, even if the child's not here day 30, and that's what the Gemara means, Bechor Shenitrof, means only if we're not able to tell if the child is a viable child. If we would know with certainty the child is a viable child, even if the child is not here day 30, obligated to Pidyon HaBen. And Bechor Shenitrof is only talking about where we can't tell if the child would have been a viable child or not. Yeah, so perhaps the Rambam, even though he disagrees with Rashi in terms of how to learn this Gemara, might agree at least on that one point, that the Chiyuv of Pidyon HaBen sets in already on day one. Okay, so Rabbi said, what we have here is Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, how to learn this Gemara. Bechor Shenitrof B'Soich L'Amid Yomein Pardinoso. According to Tosfos, it means it became a Trefa. And this Gemara is teaching us not only does the child have to be able to make it to 30 days, it has to be able to make it for 12 months. You know, and if the doctors feel maybe it can make it to 12 months already, then you'd be Chayv in Pidyon HaBen. If the doctors feel that it can't make it to 12 months, according to Tosfos at least, you'd be putter in Pidyon HaBen. Can't be a trefa. According to Rashi, no, what this Gemara is telling us is that if a child is killed before 30 days of arrival, we don't know if the child would be a viable child. But if the child, if we know the child could live till day 30, you'd be actually chayv in Pidyon HaBen. This Gemara is just teaching us, if we don't know if it can make it to day 30 and the child is killed, so then you're putter in Pidyon HaBen. I might have said you have to pay me suffik, kamash mo'an, you have to pay me suffik. But if I would know the child is a viable child, Chayvim Pidyon HaBen. By the way, according to Rashi, let's say we knew the child can live 30 days, but it can't live to 12 months. So we would say, still Chayvim Pidyon HaBen. According to Rashi, Bechor Shenitrof had nothing to do with Trefa. It had to do with a child who was killed within 30 days. If the child could live past 30 days, according to Rashi, it would be Chayvim Pidyon HaBen. So that's another consideration in that child who, Lo Yalenu, was sick, who can live past 30 days, but not necessarily can live to 12 months. Rashi would hold for sure you're Chayv in Pidyon HaBen. It's only according to Tosfos might have an issue. But according to Rashi, what is the purpose of the 30 days? It's to check whether the child is a viable child. According to Tosfos, what's the purpose of the 30 days? Huh? It's Xeris HaKosov. You're pushing not Chayv before day 30. So look at Tosfos. Let's look back at Tosfos. Four lines up in the narrow lines. Oh, Vada Xeris HaKosov. Even if we would know the child is a full-term child, you need 30 days. It's Xeris HaKosov. According to Rashi, what's the purpose of 30 days? To tell me it's a viable child. So if I know it's a viable child even before then, even if it never made it to 30 days. Just a child who's killed before, we don't know. Okay, so you're putter. The problem is, there's a Gemara that sounds like Rashi. Look at Tosfos, two lines up in the narrow lines. The Gemara there says the following rule, Rabbi Isai, that there are two terms that a child could be born, either a 7-month baby or a 9-month baby. We don't have any remnant of this in our time, but there were two, the Gemara assumed there were two full terms for a child to be born, either 9 months or 7 months. And if it was born during the 7 months, born after 9 months, a child could be a very, a viable child. If the child was born in the 8th month, it was certainly an AFO. Therefore, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, if you have a child that's born in the eighth month, you cannot be machal al Shabbos for the child. Wow, because we know it's going to be an Eifel. And even if we're Mesupak, if it was born in the seventh month or the eighth month, the ninth month or the eighth month, you can't be machal al Shabbos for the child. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So the Bi'ur Halacha can't tolerate that. Already the Mishnah Berurah says, well, why is it any worse than an Ubar? Well, Machal Shabbos for an Ubar, for a fetus. We don't know if the fetus is going to end up being full term. And yeah, Machal Shabbos, maybe it will be full term. So too, if we're not sure if it's a 9-month baby or an 8-month baby, how can it be worse than the fetus when we don't know anything? So the Bi'ur Halacha says, no, it must be. That's not what the Gemara means, not what the Shulchan Aruch means. You could be Machal Shabbos for the Suffolk. But if we know the child is an 8-month child, it cannot be Machal Shabbos of Vade in 8 months. So Chazon Ish already wrote that in our times, this doesn't apply. Because Nishtanu Harafuos, he says, now all my children were born in the 8th month. We never had a 9th. None of them ever made it to the 9th. So, Chazon Ish says it's run of the mill now. Half the babies are born prematurely. Why that's the case, it's an interesting discussion. But there's so many babies that are born prematurely before the 9th month now. So it's a commonplace. So Chazon Ish felt that Nishtanu Harafuos. And nowadays, you can't be Machal Shabbos for an 8-month child. But in the times of the Gemara, you cannot be Machal Shabbos for an 8-month child. But, or if you weren't sure if it was 7-month or 8-month, it couldn't be Machal Shabbos. But if you see the child last 30 days, oh, then we see it's a viable child. So now, you can be Machal Shabbos for the child. Where do we derive that from? We derive it from Pidyon HaBen. So what do you see the purpose of the 30 days is all about? The purpose of the 30 days is to tell me whether the child is a viable child. So if it lives 30 days, he can be Machal Shabbos. If it lives 30 days, therefore, by the way, also if the child passes away, Leilenu, so then it would be Avelus. If the child does not make it 30 days, no Avelus, no Chilul Shabbos. It was not a viable child. Nowadays, if the doctors think it can live, you know, when it's born, the doctors think it can live. So then once it lives for 30 days, you can, even before then, I'm sorry, the Chazon Ish holds, you can ready to be Machal Shabbos. And if the child lives for 30 days, it's born prematurely. So if the child lives for 30 days, it'll be Chayv and Avelus. If the child is born very prematurely and it never lasts the 30, so we can be Machal Shabbos, because hopefully we'll be able to save the child. You never know what the doctors can do nowadays. It's not a Vaday Nefil. It's no worse than the Ubar, where we hoped we can save the child. So we Machal Shabbos, but there'll be no Avelos unless it makes it to 30 days. Rav Shlomo Zalman held something very interesting with regards to incubators. You know what an incubator is? You've seen them? An incubator, if you've ever been in a neonatal intensive care unit called the NICU unit, so they have there, when the babies are born, they have trouble maintaining their own heat, so they put them in what looks like a plexiglass box with sometimes blue lights or whatever. So Shlomo Zalman held that is like a hemshech of the mother. That's like the continuation of the womb. So even though it wasn't full term before, not necessarily like the Chazon Ish, you know, the medicine has changed. We can even save the 8-month babies now, the 6-month babies, 7-month babies. No, when you put in the incubator, it's like it's still in the womb. So it becomes a 9th month baby outside. Wow. That was the Chiddush of Shlomo Zalman. So look how far he took this. Shlomo Zalman said, therefore, when do you do Pidyon HaBen? Let's say it's a firstborn child. When do you start counting 30 days for Pidyon HaBen? When it comes out of the incubator. So we did that. My first child was a boy who was born quite early. So, and he was in an incubator. So, and we did Pidyon HaBen. We counted 30 days from the time that he came out of the incubator. But then, you could have nafkamina the other way. Let's say the child makes it for 45 days, but he passes away, you know, right after that. The whole time it was in an incubator. So according to Shlomo Zalman, be no avelos. So that's the other side of the coin. Yeah.
According to that opinion, though, do you also would count 8 days for Mila after it leaves the incubator?
No. But you can't do a bris Mila anyway on a sick baby, so you're gonna have to wait later on. This is a din of being born, so Pidyon HaBen depends on when you're being born. I don't know. I had a suffix later on. Shlomo Zalman doesn't address it. Do you have to wait for the bar mitzvah then? When is the bar mitzvah? 13 years after he came out of the incubator, and 13 years from the day he was born.
What are we doing?
What are we doing? My son's bar mitzvah, though, was Shabbos. Whatever. Complicated matzah. Shabbos I go, though, which for the rabbi is the worst Shabbos to have a bar mitzvah. But we didn't. We didn't push off the bar mitzvah. He had an aliyah earlier. Because it's anyway, it's a machlok. Not everyone accepts this of Shlomo Zalman. Why should the incubator be like the womb? It's a medical device, not the womb. But anyway, that was the chiddush of Shlomo Zalman. He felt the incubator looks like a medical device. Rabbi Yashiv disagreed. Rabbi Yashiv held no. Anyway, what do you see the purpose of the 30 days? After a child lasts for 30 days, a viable child. If the child hasn't lasted for 30 days, so then it's not a viable child. That's all derived from here, from Pidin HaBen. So that makes sense according to Rashi. According to Rashi, if Tuvim Ibn Chodesh, Tifta tells me, why do I have to wait 30 days to tell me if it's a viable child? If I would know it would be a viable child, the Chayav Pidin HaBen already now. True, you can't pay early, you know, but the Chiyuv sets in already from day one. You can't pay early, but if come day 30, be obligated to pay. According to Tosfos, it's Xeris HaKosev, you have to wait till day 30. How then can I derive from here that 30 days teaches me that the child is a viable child? So the Rashba asked this question. Over here, it's Vav, and the Rashba says in Tamar, "I'm Cain. Hechin Avgon b'Shabbos. May I crowd if doim me bechadish tifted the chol sheshah shloishim yom ain on eifel. How can we derive from here the 30 days? It's no longer an eifel. This has exeris hakasef. Yeshloim adavada inefo hava lo hava mechayva tara levdoso. The Rashba says what we must say is even though it's exeris hakasef here with regards to pitting a ben and he can never be pulled out early." At least with regards to deriving to halachas elsewhere, with regards to chilul Shabbos, with regards to avelos, we can presume that the Torah here is telling us, had the child been, an afo, would certainly not be chayv in pidin haben, and therefore, why does the Torah say you have to wait till 30 days in order to do pidin haben to tell me, to make sure that it's not an afo? Meaning, what we're really saying is, why did the Torah say this by pidin haben? In order to determine that it's not an afo. And once we can determine from there that it's not an afo, we can derive to other halachas elsewhere. When we come back, a few kimwan bay, they ain't on afo, ain't a bar padir, the xeris akasafu. Nonetheless, at least with regards to pinin haben, even if we know that it's not an afo, you're still not chai before day 30. Meaning over here, it's xeris akasaf. But we can derive from this xeris akasaf to elsewhere in halacha that 30 days teaches me that something, you know, that the child is not an afo. We're going to have to explore this, Rashba. It's some tomorrow. We'll try and explain what he's talking about. And how can we derive the reasons for halachas? I thought we don't do that. We don't say what is the reason and then derive the halachas. I have to explain this, Rashi. Okay, Shkai.